It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. If you call the non-emergency dispatch number in La Crosse County, you might hear this voice.
My name is Eva. How can I help?
Eva isn't a real person, but is the artificial intelligence helper for La Crosse County Public Safety Communications. Officials there say Eva helps field the non-emergency calls, freeing up operators to handle the more serious calls. La Crosse County is one of a handful of counties in Wisconsin experimenting with this new technology. Supporters say the system can help call center staff by allowing them to focus on people with urgent needs and improve response times. But are there risks when AI is part of 911 dispatch? We wanted to learn how two counties are using this new technology. Katie Stauman is director of the Outagamie County Communications Center. Katie, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Hello.
And Corey Lynch is here, operations supervisor at La Crosse County Public Safety Communications. Corey, welcome to you.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Corey, let's start with you. How is La Crosse County using AI at its emergency call center?
We've started to use AI for non-emergency call handling. We began using it in May of last year, and it handles the non-emergency lines that happen to come into the dispatch center.
What might be an example of a call that is fielded through AI?
It handles a number of the administrative type calls that we end up getting, open records requests, requests for accident reports, evidence, court times, wanting to speak to a jail inmate, those types of calls.
Oh, wow. So those would certainly not be emergencies, but they're filtering through your call center?
By virtue of being 24/7, we've become kind of the repository of all calls that would happen to come into the law enforcement agencies that we dispatch for. And the AI is helping us to shed some of that extra workload.
Okay. And so basically the call can be triaged early on. How does that work when AI takes over a call?
AI initially answers the phone call to come in. And through the setup with the company, we set what they call routes. And the AI determines how to best handle that particular call by searching its routes and the relative information that we've put in with it. So if they're looking for a police report from the La Crosse Police Department, AI will recognize that and either send the caller a text message, a link to their website, or forward the call to La Crosse Police Department records.
Okay, so certainly using those digital resources that we use in our day-to-day life.
Yes, and has made our lives in the dispatch center much easier.
Katie, I want to turn to you. I understand that Outagamie County is using AI to train call operators. Can you explain what's happening?
Sure. We have started using a program called ThisGen, and it is a way for our field training officers to alleviate some of the burden that comes with role-playing scenarios with our newer dispatchers. We try to expose them to as much as we can during training, but they can't experience every emergency while they're in training. So this gives us a chance to maybe feed the AI some information, such as kind of set up the call. So we might say we want to take an active shooter call from someone and they have a Southern accent. And that will generate a call using our geographical locations in our jurisdiction. So it is very realistic. Most callers don't know the address of where they're at. And this AI-generated conversation will say things like, I'm at this park and it happens to be by this other location, which prompts the call taker or the trainee to look up that location while still holding a conversation with somebody as if it were a real call.
What do your call operators think of this type of training?
So far, it's going well. It's very new for us, so we haven't had a chance to use it on a lot of trainees yet. We also plan to use it in our SWAT negotiator trainings to simulate conversations for them as well.
SWAT negotiation trainings, what might that entail? What does it involve?
Well, we don't have a very busy negotiations team, thank goodness. But we do train a lot and we like to practice and be prepared. So this gives us a chance to have, instead of a human role player, we would use the AI program, ThisGen, to generate those conversations for us and be the victim or the suspect in a SWAT negotiations. And we can practice having those conversations and negotiating with people outside of a real incident.
And I understand that you're also using AI to help with translation. What does that entail?
We do use it for translation and transcription of live calls. The transcription also will filter keywords that we've predetermined and let supervisors know if there's a certain type of call going on. Like, let's say the word gun is mentioned, or heart attack or cardiac arrest, it will alert a supervisor to let them know that those calls are coming in. And we're able to read that transcription in real time as the call is going on to make sure that everything is going as it should, and monitor those calls, those higher priority calls.
Corey, back to you. What have you noticed since incorporating AI tools into the emergency call center?
I think the biggest advantage that we've seen, or the biggest notice, is that our answering times for 911 calls has gotten better. The National Emergency Number Association has set a standard that 95% of calls get answered within 20 seconds of the first ring. And for November of this year, we were at 99%, which is pretty impressive.
Where were you before?
We were still well within the standard, but it's increased it that way. I believe in October, we were around 96, 97% in that 20 second range. So we're getting better. The dispatchers are able to focus on those 911 calls and the radio traffic instead of trying to direct callers on the administrative stuff.
Yes. And how quickly can a person take over when needed for those higher emergency calls, higher priority calls? And what does that handoff look like?
AI has keywords programmed in, similar to what Outagamie County is doing. When the AI recognizes those keywords or hot words, it transfers the call right into the 911 dispatcher.
How many hot words might it know?
Oh, there's quite a few. Anything that's in progress, or the caller alludes to being an in progress incident, gun, injuries, bleeding, there's a whole list.
Katie, are there plans to scale up with AI beyond training to respond to non-emergency calls in Outagamie County? What does that roadmap look like?
Fortunately, our staffing right now is pretty good in our dispatch center, but historically, in every dispatch center, staffing is a struggle. So as we continue on and continue with staffing struggles, we probably will look at it. We don't feel like we need to look into it right now, but I'm sure it'll definitely come in the next couple of years.
So that point where you would feel a pinch with staffing, that's where you would begin the conversations again about how AI could be a tool and an asset.
Correct.
We're learning how Wisconsin counties are incorporating AI into their 911 dispatch centers, with some counties implementing AI systems to handle non-emergency calls. Katie Stauman directs the Outagamie County Communication Center, and Corey Lynch is here, operations supervisor at La Crosse County Public Safety Communications. Corey, how has this AI system changed the workloads for operators? Are they able to spend more time on more pressing emergency calls?
Able to spend more time and also be able to act faster on those calls. It's also an advantage for the callers that are into the AI system, that they're not being put on hold for the dispatcher to answer a priority radio transmission or a 911 call. They're able to give all their information, and it pops up in front of the dispatcher for handling.
What is some of that information that might pop up in front of the dispatcher that is so key for that dispatch?
It's the same information that the human would be asking: where it's happening, when it happened, who's involved. And the AI prompts the caller through that list of information, makes a summary. That summary comes up on a dashboard in front of the dispatcher for entry and dispatching to the appropriate law enforcement agency.
Now, Corey, Katie is working with ThisGen software technology. I'm wondering, as you look at businesses out there offering this technology for sale, what does that look like for, to choose a particular technology to go with and to look at these bids coming in?
The industry right now is really moving forward at a breakneck pace with AI and public safety. The training, the call taking, quality assurance and quality improvement platforms, it's pretty amazing. And they're all being very competitive with each other, money-wise.
Katie, what do you notice about, putting out bids and looking what options are on the table for the companies you can go with?
Yeah, I would agree with the LaCrosse. There are companies who are out there doing this. There's a lot of them. It is pretty competitive. We were able to afford this gen and some extra modules through RapidSOS. That's where we get our translation and transcription and AI summaries from. And we were able to fund that through some grants through the state of Wisconsin. So if we were to look at a call taking program where AI would take our calls similar to LaCrosse, we would probably have to do it through grants as well, because while there are a lot of options and they're competitive, they are still pricey.
And grants are, they can be year to year or budget cycle to budget cycle. Do you anticipate that your county, would carve out dedicated funding for this in Outagamie County?
I do, especially if we have open spots for that we can't fill by hiring, because we are not paying those salaries, which would more than make up for the cost of software to be answering the phone calls.
Corey, how does that financially work out for your county in terms of affording this type of technology and where that's headed for LaCrosse?
It's been fairly similar with us. Some of our salary and fringe savings went to the contract for our AI call handling, but we've got a really strong backer in the county administrator who said right from the start that this wasn't going to replace anybody in the center. We'll continue to work on staffing it up. So the money will be found one way or another, basically, is where that stands.
Corey, we've had discussions about AI on our show before, and there's the concern that repeatedly comes up, how AI systems can duplicate human biases that exist out in the world. What is LaCrosse County doing to safeguard against bias?
It hasn't been a discussion I've had with the company. I'll certainly bring it up now that it's in front of mind. But from the transcripts and the recordings that I've listened to, I have not noticed anything biased. It's pretty straightforward and simple questioning that comes out of it.
Katie, how about for you? Is that a concern, human bias?
It has not been a concern for us either. And same, the summaries that we're getting, the transcriptions that we're getting from those live calls are accurate and just as if a human would have done them.
Katie, is this a turning point for 911 dispatch and what's possible in helping people and saving lives?
I think it is, especially more so for the counties that are using it to decrease their call volume, because like was mentioned earlier, you can answer calls faster. You can answer the radio faster if you have less calls coming in. And like I said before, as we look to the future for our staffing, if we can't fill those seats with call takers, then we are going to have to look at it. And I think the next couple of years are going to be that time.
Corey, what do you think? Is this a turning point for how 911 dispatch, operates not only in your county, but in many places around Wisconsin?
I think it is a turning point. It's a force multiplier for those centers that are struggling with staffing. It's an extra tool, extra piece of equipment that adds efficiencies to what's happening and keeps the dispatchers that are in the room able to handle the emergencies that are coming in a timely fashion.
Has it changed the stress level inside the emergency center? Because these are really stressful jobs. I'm wondering, have you seen any change there in the emotional capacity of your team?
I think it's reduced the stress quite a bit. You're not going from that high acuity 911 call, the one that I think every dispatcher hates of a baby not breathing, and working through that. And the next call you answer from the non-emergency side is a barking dog. You're not getting that super high to a super low type call. It's balancing it out.
Katie, what do you think about the stress level inside these emergency call centers and what the future holds with AI in trying to bring that down.
Well, I very much agree with the statement of going from the emergency call to the non-emergency call. If you're going from emergency to emergency, that stress level is easier to maintain during your shift than it is to go up and down and have those adrenaline rushes and changes in heart rate in a human being, which you obviously would not get with AI. And it's going to be a safer working environment for someone's physical health, working as a 911 dispatcher. For us, again, we haven't used this gen very much yet. It's very new for us, but I think our stress level for our field training officers will go down significantly, because anytime there is downtime between calls or between radio transmissions, our training officers are role-playing and trying to give those trainees every experience they can so that they're prepared when they're on their own, and that causes a lot of burnout. It's tiring for them, so having the program be able to have those conversations is going to alleviate a lot of stress for them during training.
You said your staffing is stable for now, and I'm wondering, if you lose a staffer, especially a veteran staffer, that can be really hard because you have to invest so much time and effort into training up new people. Is that an issue?
It is an issue. It takes about 6 months for a trainee to be fully trained to answer the phone and the radio on their own. And we say it generally takes about a year and a half to 2 years to be completely comfortable doing this job. So you're right. You lose one person, and it takes a good 2 years before you have another veteran.
2 years before another veteran, Corey. Do you feel that same issue of not wanting to lose staffers who've been on the job for years?
Absolutely. I 100% agree with Katie on that one.
Before I have to let you go, Corey, I'm wondering, do you feel like your staff is open and accepting of this new technology? Has there been any resistance?
There's been a little bit of resistance as we went live with it. We went live in May of last year, but the dispatchers are able to leave feedback on the calls that they're working with through the system. And by that feedback, we're able to make adjustments with the vendor and make it better. And I think we're winning over the majority of my staff at this point.
Oh, so you're able to make tweaks along the way that are informed by the suggestions of your staff?
Yes.
That must be really helpful, not only fine-tuning the system, but your staff is heard.
Yep. Both of those are very true statements. No dispatch center is one size fits all on how you handle the situations. So it's able to tweak that and customize it to how La Crosse County would handle it.
Well, Katie and Corey, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kate.
That is Katie Stahman, Director of Outagamie County Communication Center, and Corey Lynch, Operations Supervisor at La Crosse County Public Safety Communications. They were talking about how their counties are incorporating AI tools into their emergency dispatch operation centers.